AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt, Eric, good to see you, Eric. Haven't seen you in a while, man.
Yeah, I haven't been here for a while.
Well, good to have you back in here.
See you.
It is a light news day. Not much going on today. Cliff Schechter is the founder and the president of the PR firm Libertas LLC. He's advised campaigns and political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore. He's authored the 2008 bestseller The Real McCain, columnist for the Daily Beast, and of course, Unprecedented, the podcast that he does with John Aravosis. Is pretty exceptional. If you're not subscribed, you're just not cool. I'm just going to say it like that. And Cliff is kind enough to join us right now to talk about what in the world has been going on today. Hi, Cliff.
Yeah, hi. If you're not subscribed, you're not nearly as cool as Judge Kavanaugh, who clearly had lots of friends in high school and was surrounded by lots of women. Also, he had lots of friends, and he worked out a lot. Also, he played lots of sports, and he also worked out. I know all that because he's repeated it ad nauseum for like the last 45 minutes. And now I've decided he definitely should be a judge.
He, is that all it takes?
in between anger and crying fits and screaming and he's kind of perfected the angry tears, you know what I mean? Like the yelling while crying and then sort of going to like an, I love you, man. We had a great summer crashing that Chevy, the DuPont Circle. Like, I think he may be drunk right now.
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, the only thing missing is she liked it. She wanted it. That's the only thing missing from his testimony. At this, he doesn't. Am I crazy? Or because I saw him right before I came on. He looks like he's aged 40 years since this entire process began, and I guarantee you 20 of those years were just in the first 3 hours of today on the testimony that happened earlier.
Yeah, well, he does, and good. You know, like, I'm not going to hide how I loathe this guy. I mean, he is everything. He's every negative stereotype of, like, high school Catholic boys. You know, the hazing, the nastiness, the sort of cruelty of laughing at others. I mean, again, you know, he's sitting here whimpering and crying and trying to pretend that Dr. Ford's really emotionally powerful and incredible testimony, you know, means nothing. Meanwhile, he won't allow the FBI investigation, or the Republicans in the Senate certainly won't, because they know what's behind it. They you know, they won't allow people to be his friend, the lifelong drunk who's written books about, which included a character named, what was his name, Bart O'Kavanaugh in it? I wonder who that was based on, who are womanizing and all this stuff. That guy, Mark Judge, they won't call him to testify. They won't call, you know, Kavanaugh's freshman year roommate at Yale, who says he absolutely believes that Kavanaugh could have done this from the behavior he witnessed, from the drunkenness, from the way he treated women. They won't bring any of those folks. They won't bring Mark Judge's ex-girlfriend, who says that Judge bragged to her about the fact that they did a train, if you know what that disgusting thing means, a group of guys waiting in line to take advantage of a woman at a party who's drunk out of her mind. I mean, none of these people are being called to testify, mind you, because they don't want the truth of this thing. They've never wanted the truth. I mean, this whole thing, all of it, from Lindsey Graham and you know, Orrin Hatch, these frickin' Cretaceous-era dinosaurs who have no business making policy. I mean, if anything has made me turn my beliefs and believe in term limits, by the way, I'm all for it now. That we've got these guys who've been there a combined 40 years or 50 years, you know, I actually think it's a combined 80 years between the two of Hatch and Grassley, who are judging, trying to judge what modern life is. Like, these two guys, you know, they're dinosaurs. They don't know. They've been in the bubble for I don't know how many years. I mean, just the whole thing. I'm sorry. I know I'm going on a rant here. But this group of obnoxious, arrogant white men, but, you know, mediocre white men who are where they are because of the where they were born in life, and that they sit here and judge other people like Dr. Ford, who escaped, you know, from this man and had trauma her whole life and only went and got a PhD and a master's and has lived a productive life. It angers me incredibly.
Well, and it should, because when you watch Dr. Christine Ford this morning and her testimony, the thing you and I kind of, when we were setting up this interview, we kind of said, are they even going to do this? Because this was not, you know, the fifth accuser, the woman that was talking about the boat in Newport, she recanted her accusation. The other four still stand as of right now. But there was nothing. I mean, the one in Newport immediately kind of put up some red flags, like, is this legit? And it did not end up being legit. That's not what Dr. Ford was. Dr. Ford from the get-go was very legitimate, a very straightforward argument. multiple witnesses well before Kavanaugh was up for even consideration on this. And the reality is, as I was watching this, I was just saying, the real legacy of you idiot Republicans is that you actually went ahead with this, that you didn't have the guts to look at Trump and say, Kavanaugh can't do it. You don't want this to happen because we're going to look horrible. And they're basically went with their party allegiance and went through with this. And the end of the day, Dr. Ford looked incredibly credible this morning.
Oh, my God. She was. She was likable. She was funny at times. I mean, she was somebody you could tell also was terrified by being there. And I think in some ways, because of that, because maybe times have changed too, but maybe because Anita Hill was more of a professional and used to that kind of an atmosphere as a lawyer, maybe that went to her disadvantage. Of course, I don't think she could have won when you've got Strom Thurmond sitting there on the damn Judiciary Committee. I'm not sure there's much that ever could have happened. But back to the present. I mean, yeah, we've got four women who are willing to come out and say this, right? Are willing to come out and accuse. This is somebody who's on the second most powerful court in the land, and maybe on the most powerful one. And you're also taking on Donald Trump, who has shown himself to be just a bit vindictive. I wonder why people might be scared to come and do that. But again, it's not just the four women. It's his freshman roommate. It's the girlfriend of Mark Judge. It's other people along the way who've been willing to say, this is the way this man behaved, and have either seen him, you know, acting in a specific way at parties, or his general behavior as a drunken lout. On top of that, you know, he joins a society at Yale. I don't think I'm even allowed to say the name of it on your show, okay? But I think you know the one I'm talking about, right?
And people can research that one themselves, yes.
You can't say the name of that. Of course, I think I can say their motto on your show, I mean, which is no means yes, yes means anal. That was their motto, okay? He also, on his yearbook, is listing women that they've been with and now is trying to deny that that's what he meant by that. Drunken parties. I mean, it's like take the four women who directly accused him out of it. Look at what organizations he chose to join. Look at his best friend, Mark Judge, who he considers a close friend he's been around. Look at, you know, the emails that have come out that have shown this man perjured himself on numerous occasions, including accepting stolen material, which was Democratic talking points for opposing Bush judges that a Republican staffer, Manny Miranda, stole from their database. And he lied he perjured himself about his knowledge about illegal programs, warrantless wiretapping and torture during the Bush years. So on two levels, he perjured himself about knowing about stolen materials he accepted and about illegal programs. Okay. I mean, at what point does it just get to be a joke and get to be ridiculous? I mean, that this guy could have any credibility in any way after, I mean, we've seen his 2006 testimony. It is on video mm-hmm. when he was going for his circuit court of appeals position to Senator Kennedy. I'd never got any of those materials. And now, in 2018, says something completely different. It is perjury. It is simple. Well, it's straightforward. He's a liar. He's a liar under oath. And he's done it multiple times. And he also lied about which judges, you know, Chip Pickering and some of the other controversial judges he worked on. He said, no, I didn't work on them. And we find in the emails that are released, he did work on them. I mean, the whole thing is like this guy has every negative trait, everything from temperament to dishonesty to bullying and assault. He has everything you could never want in a judge. It's ridiculous.
The process here, I mean, one of my political guys made the comment. He said the mistake that really we started down this rabbit hole was done by the Republicans last year with Merrick Garland. The fact that they could have had a vote, they could have met with him, had the committee hearings, had the vote and voted him down. And that would have been the end of it. But they refused to do that because they didn't want to even acknowledge Obama's nominee. Now you get right to this point where we're on the polar opposite side of this planet, where before Dr. Ford and the other three allegations against him, you had a guy who was coming in who clearly the Republicans were preventing Democrats from seeing his full resume. They kept back the majority of his paperwork so that they couldn't see what was going on. They were trying right to limit the amount of testimony, limit the amount of questioning. And that was beforehand, which would have been, you know, that would have been a deal breaker not that long ago. This whole, as we get further and further into this and we realize this guy, when he was a kid, he clearly had some real serious problems. And one of the allegations is 98. That's not when he was a kid. That's the one where he pushed the woman up against the wall.
He was working in D.C. at that time.
Yeah, I think that as we get further down into this, we've got an incredibly flawed individual who absolutely should not be considered. What is going on with the Senate Republicans that they can't get away from this?
in addition to that, let's just state, which is, I mean, we're hearing him, the caterwauling he was just doing about, oh, I'll never get a job teaching again. You know,
yeah,
I'll never be able to teach in law again.
Yes,
this
yes.
is a person who, after the Senate, after the House, after Secret Service, and after D.C. police, all four determined that Vince Foster had committed suicide, decided just to be a gratuitously evil bastard to reopen that investigation and torture Vince Foster's family. I mean, he's the lowest of the low. And so, you know, we've gone through something where over the last 20, 30 years, right, when Newt Gingrich took over the House in 1994, he destroyed all comedy in the House, all relationships and working together for abject political warfare. When Mitch McConnell took over the Senate, he did the exact same thing. And this is the reason we have the polarization we have, because of the right-wing ideologues who took over the Republican Party. And now they've successfully done it to the judicial sphere, too. The reason why they're doing this right now, quite frankly, is this is what they've wanted for years. They wouldn't give Barack Obama a vote they knew he deserved. They wanted to get that fifth judge on the court so they can, you know, even with Kennedy, they didn't have it on abortion, they didn't have it on gay rights, and they didn't have it on certain economic measures, too. Here and there, Kennedy would be moderate. This is that fifth hard right nominee they want to undo everything, to bring us back to the Lochner Court era, where they undo everything in the last 30 or 40 years. And so they don't care. They don't, because they realize right now, because of everything they've done, because of the behavior and the corruption and the treason and everything, that if people come out and vote, which you all better do, they're going to be wiped out in the upcoming election. And if that happens, then they won't be able to get who they want on the court. So it's all or nothing. They don't care. And they're willing to break the judicial process in the same manner in which they've broken the Senate and the House to get it done.
Well, and the people that are backing him, the Republican voters that are backing Kavanaugh, which once again, the latest poll said 54% of Republicans didn't care if all of this was true. They still want him on the Supreme Court. They think that if they just overturn Roe v. Wade, that abortion will be illegal the next day. No, they will just take us back to the point where individual states have it legal. And
right.
That there's no things. I mean, so, you know, there's just a fundamental misunderstanding of the process. I mean, if they really wanted to get rid of abortion, they would have to put through a constitutional amendment, which they could have probably done in 2004, 2005. They probably could have done that, but they didn't, because they themselves don't want to outlaw it. They just want to look like they're doing what they need to do. And so there's a fundamental misunderstanding
right.
about of what this guy's going to do. Like, all of a sudden, he's going to just basically kick all the liberals out of the country. But
that's what they're based on, right? I mean, their whole existence is based on selling a fundamental misunderstanding of everything.
Yes.
To their dupes.
Yep.
To these people that don't pay attention, don't know what's going on, and fall easily for BS and conspiracy theory. I mean, these people that don't believe that they can sell that global warming isn't really happening, so the Koch brothers can keep destroying our coastlines and the rest. That they can sell that gun violence isn't really something that we can do anything about, so the NRA can keep profiting off of killing kids in school. I mean, you know, this is what it's all prefaced on. If they can get the guy on the courts, then, you know, they feel like, well, they may get wiped out in this election, and they get wiped out in future elections. But the only thing that can stem the sort of demographic tide that's coming their way and it's going to destroy them is having the Supreme Court, because then they can just undo everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's unconstitutional. You know, that there's no right for, you know, they can use the interstate commerce clause to pretty much take apart all federal programs. Right, they can do these kinds of things, and that's really what it's about. Because in the end, it's the corporate guys that make it all go around. The social conservatives are themselves dupes to the whole thing.
Well, and I mean,
you know what I mean? It's the money guys that run the show.
You see the brainwashing, that woman out in Bozeman, Montana, with her daughter sitting there saying, "What's the problem? What's the big deal about a guy groping high school girls? That's no big deal." With her daughter's right there, and just so she basically says, "You can grope my daughters," just so she can own the libs. And it just tells you how broken they are. But speaking of broken, one thing I want to go back to, because you and I'm 50. How old are you, man, if I can ask?
40. No, it's all good. 46. Same age range.
Yeah, we grew up in the 80s. I would be lying if I didn't say that I had seen outrageous behavior that has been described by what's going on in Kavanaugh. People spiking drinks, you know, guys trying to take advantage of drunk girls. I saw that behavior, and it seems like what we are kind of getting to the point now, as that group of people now has aged up into this level, is that the idea of equality and equal rights and the Me Too movement is just to basically say we're tired of the lip service and the ad campaign saying we're for women's rights. The reality is pay is still not equal, working conditions right. are not equal, and take a look at this debacle that's going on with Dr. Ford. There is a lack of equality that's there, and it's just this white boy club from the 80s that is kind of this last bastion of trying to keep this alive, because this was this is what they think they're entitled to. That this is when they think about giving rights to other people, they don't want to do that because they've been entitled to, oh, I could get a girl drunk and rape her when I was right. in high school, and I got away with it. And that's, I don't yep. want to share that. I mean, and I think that that's what we're coming to grips with, is Kavanaugh is the epitome of that villain from the 80s, which is just, you know, these people that, this is the reason why these movements are growing, growing, and growing today, is because we realize we have to purge ourselves of the Kavanaughs of this planet.
Oh, I mean, it's so true. I mean, look, when you and I were growing up, somebody was bringing this up the other day. There are plenty of funny movies we saw, and there was a lot of it that still is funny, and yet there were things in there that were disgusting. Somebody was talking about the movie, for example, 16 Candles, where somebody ends up having sex with someone, with a woman who's asleep. The boyfriend hands her off to somebody. Or Animal House, where he's got the, you know, the angel and the devil on the shoulders are funny. It's not funny when you remember he was debating whether he should have sex with a woman who was passed out. Right? These were things that the era ahead of us, who are now going into their 70s and 80s, they thought all that stuff was hilarious. Right? And we saw movies when we were young. As we've gotten older, and I'll say at least when I was in college, maybe the same thing for you. Yeah, I drank too much at times. I know what I did and what I didn't do, however. And I always knew women who would come and friends and whatever, who had stories of men doing these things. I mean, I knew plenty of women who were date raped, sadly, by certain types that, I'm sorry, but Brett Kavanaugh reminds me a lot of.
Yes.
And as we've come of age, you know, we've said, you know, our generation and the ones behind us have said, enough. This is disgusting. This isn't the way it should be. We've got these dinosaurs again, and I'm sorry if this is ageism, but I don't know how else to put this. Like Orrin Hatch and Chuck Grassley, who are holding on in their 80s, who still find this stuff, I suppose, rather amusing to them. I'm not saying there, you know, there's a couple of young Republicans, you know, there's a few that are our age, right? Mm-hmm. Tom Cotton and Ted Cruz, who fit right in there, who are still good with it, because they're such right-wing clowns. But if you see, even the younger generation of Republicans, ones that you and I are not big fans of, I'd throw out Marco Rubio, who seemed pretty uncomfortable with this when he talked to the press the other day. You know, even some of the ones that are more conservative than you are getting that, you know, that this isn't the way it should be.
Yeah.
This isn't the way it can be anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you're right, they're holding the line. And what they're hoping is they found a kindred soul in a 53-year-old, you know, Brett Kavanaugh, where they can hold the line and artificially keep their regime going for the next 30 years, 40 years. That's what they're hoping to do, even if 80% of us are voting against everything they believe in.
And
that's what this is about.
Most Republicans are you know, backing up Dr. Ford even. A few aren't, Stuart Varney and Lindsey Graham, but there are a lot that are basically backing them up.
And I saw you said 54% said, you know, and that is terrible. That's more than half of Republicans. But it's important to note also, there was 35% or something of that number saying absolutely not. So that's more than a third of Republicans are even saying. I mean, since they've been pushing Kavanaugh, Trump's approval has gone from an 87% level among Republican women to now it's down to 68% yeah. among Republicans. I mean, that's among Republican women, right? That's not just women where he's in the toilet. So this is hurting them. Because, again, you know, there's women in the suburbs who maybe their husbands are doctors or, you know, working in investment banks and making a lot of money. We're happy with the tax cuts, having this stuff. They're not happy with this. They're still being told they're second-class citizens, and we're seeing a lot of them in the suburbs who are leaving the Republican Party over this.
Well, and
so, we'll see how that plays out.
We got about a minute left, and I just want to ask you really quick, where does this go at this point? My guess would be the pressure will be on Kavanaugh to withdraw his name, but, you know, at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if they held true to that vote tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they're going to hold the vote tomorrow. I don't think he's going to get on. I just think what Dr. Ford said and all the other stuff that could come out, you know, three governors, Kasich, Charlie Baker, and Larry Hogan, three Republican governors, came out today and said, absolutely, you shouldn't have the vote. There needs to be an FBI investigation. There's just pressure coming from all places. I think that you only need two Republicans, and even Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Marco Rubio I mentioned before, people that I never expected, were sounding sort of shaken by what they saw with the testimony from Ford. So, you know, and I don't think, I mean, again, maybe I'm playing this wrong because I'm not who it's aimed at, but I'm watching Kavanaugh and it seems more pathetic and more sort of, to me, disqualifying because of his, because of a lack of temperament than anything else. So we can't know, but I have a feeling he's at best right now got 44 to 46 votes, and I don't think he makes it.
He's the old,
and I hope I'm right.
He's the old guys at the end of Trading Spaces screaming, get them back in here at this point. Next week, we're going to have you back because Rosenstein's meeting with Trump has been delayed for a week. Next week, let's see if we can get you back on again, okay?
Would love to join you again to discuss the world's craziness, Matt.
We could go for 4 hours, my friend. Cliff Schechter, once again, Unprecedented, the podcast. If you are not subscribed, you are wrong. I will link to all of that a little bit later on. Thanks, Cliff. I appreciate it. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Get inspired this weekend only at the Parade of Homes Remodeler Showcase. See amazing remodeled homes and discover how to turn your old home into your dream home. Get your free guidebook at Holiday, then plan your tour at paradeofhomes.org. Sponsored by Marvin Windows and Doors.
Parade of Homes, where dream homes come true.
Margaret Wheatley said, there is no more powerful way to initiate significant social change than to start a conversation. When a group of people discover that they share a common concern, that's when the process of change begins. On October 16th, you can be part of that change. Engage in the conversation at an incredible event, the Minnesota Women's Press Conversations, Using Our Voice and Vote. With midterms right around the corner, how we lobby, influence, and campaign, especially with people who have different views, has never been more important. So go to womenspress.com to register now. Oh, and Patricia Torres Ray and Nkema Levy Armstrong will be in a keynote conversation with each other. And in addition, all of us will mobilize through incredible breakout conversations. October 16th, from 4:30 to 8:30 in St. Paul at Carondelet Center, Using Our Voice and Vote. Register at womenspress.com. That's womenspress.com. See you there.
Yeah, Kavanaugh's gone nutsoid. Apparently, it was interesting this morning. The report is Trump was furious as Dr. Ford was testifying because, as he said, she sounds credible. Okay, once again, if you think, forget about the other three, and I do not want to dismiss them or diminish them. I just want to focus on Dr. Ford for a second. If you think that this is a setup, then what you're saying is that in 2012, and then again in 2013, the first time with couples counseling with her and her husband, the second time with an individual counselor she sat down, she brought up Brett Kavanaugh's name specifically, saying he sexually assaulted me when I was in high school. In both of those meetings with counselors. So your argument is 6 years ago, without even knowing if he was ever going to be a nominee for the Supreme Court, that Brett Kavanaugh, she was setting him up so she could take him down at that point. And this is the part which was really quite remarkable, I thought, from the testimony from this morning. Was the idea that the Republicans were desperately trying to find some angle to attack her on, and they spent a lot of time talking about, so when did you call the Washington Post? Why did you call the Post? Why did you do this? And she's like, well, I was trying to get in touch with my politicians. I just didn't know how to get in touch with the Senate Judiciary Committee. There's not exactly a phone number for them. And she was taking advice from other people, and so she eventually called the Post, but then she tried to contact her congressperson. Well, did you talk to anyone in your congressperson's office? Well, obviously, I talked to the receptionist, and it's like you could see what they're trying to do was they're trying to catch her up on something. And, you know, she just, by basically, you know, going slow, going over the facts, she made this look bad. If you are a Republican on the committee, I mean, the picture that will live on forever is the prosecutor, this woman that they brought in from Arizona to question Dr. Ford, sitting in front of a group of white male Republicans as they kind of cower behind her because they're afraid of looking mean. And trust me, there are a lot of Republicans right now who are screaming, I mean, One Fox News contributor was calling her a slut and that she couldn't keep her legs together. He's deleted those tweets, but still, I mean, there's an element of the Republican Party that's right now in their house screaming every bad name they can at Dr. Ford. Not because she's lying, but because she's credible, they know it, and they just can't stop themselves. Yesterday, a woman in Bozeman, Montana, I've made the comment numerous times on this radio show that Republicans hate Democrats more than they love their country, their well-being, and their religion. And we can add another one into that, their own children. They hate Democrats more than they love their own children, as highlighted in Bozeman, Montana, when the woman said, while her daughters are sitting there, what's the big deal about 18-year-old girls getting groped? I'm sorry. If that doesn't show you how broken the Republican Party is from top to bottom, nothing will. This is, if you are a Republican, you need to kill this nomination. You need to kill it now. Because there is, all you've done is taking a woman who basically, for the most part, didn't come forward because of the ridicule and scorn she was afraid she was going to get. You have proved that that's all you're going to get from Republicans in regards to this. And basically, now you're out there attacking her again. And if you have this vote after all this, that's even a bigger injustice. But one thing is undeniable. If you think teenage girls should be groped and sexually assaulted, then you need to vote Republican. Because I swear to God, those people will they'll circle the wagons for you. They'll circle the wagons for you and defend you until they die. The rest of us, the rest that are on the normal, decent side of life, vote blue, will ya? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Democrat of the day when we do return. We head down to 24B. That's Faribault. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM 950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM 950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You know, I purchased my vehicles with Rudy Luther because I love my Toyota Sienna. But it's the extra things which make me a loyal Rudy Luther customer. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at holiday station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the week, Victor's 1959 Cafe. Delicious Cuban food. If you've not had Cuban food, my goodness, is it tasty. Great dinners over there, by the way. If you run a nice little romantic place, it's quirky. It's got its places, but a great place to go out on a casual date. Really, it is great fun. 3756 Grand Avenue, South Minneapolis. Victor's 1959 Cafe, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. We head to 24B. This is Faribault and Area South. And our Democrat of the day today, Yvette Marthaler, she is joining us as she is running to represent 24B in St. Paul. Yvette, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Hello, Mr. McNeil. Thanks for calling me.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for running as a DFLer. I got to ask you something about your district, though, if I can. It sure does look a little gerrymandered-y because it's got Faribault in the north, and then it goes obnoxiously out of its way to get Owatonna out of your district, and then it has a bunch of areas south of Owatonna in your district. It is a bit of a unique one. Most of they're usually not that contorted. Can I say it like that?
Well, it is a big district. I have the cities of Morristown, Faribault, Medford, Ellendale, and Claremont. And then there's 19 townships in our district, 19 beautiful townships in our district. So it is pretty large, and we have lots of needs and interests. So I've been really working hard to learn about all those needs and interests in our district. But you're right, it is a big district. We've got a lot of different economies, agriculture, manufacturing, lots of innovative land stewardship programs. We have great facilities here in Faribault. We have the academies for the deaf and blind on Shattuck, and we also have the prison, one of the largest prisons in the state here in Faribault. So we've got a lot of diversity in our district. I will say that for sure.
You also, I will say, down you have about one of the best A&Ws left in the country.
Yes, it is. It's one of the old authentic style A&Ws. So I will also vouch for that. I don't know if you're aware, Mr. McNeil, but we were last Thursday. We had the tornadoes.
Yes.
Went through our district, and so we have had a lot of damage and loss in our district, specifically, especially in Morristown and around Faribault and the townships. So I just want to, you know, take time to say what a great job the county, city, law enforcement, emergency response teams, all the work that they have put in, and they're just organized and safe and intense response is pretty amazing. And then to watch the community step up and people help each other, it's just been a really tough week, but also just really inspiring.
Has the water levels gone down? I mean, there was a tremendous amount of rain that came out of the sky.
Yeah, we have not had the issue with the flooding here in this last week. It's really just been about a lot of damage from trees and debris and whole structures being torn apart by tornadoes. So and the airport in Faribault is pretty devastated. Yeah. So we're dealing with the cleanup, obviously, and rebuilding and people trying to still really clean up and figure out what the damage was.
Well, maybe we need to get a special session in place to get the funding down there. I mean that's part of the state. You know, the government's job is that, you know, exactly what this happens. Yes, we're not really in the legislative cycle, but when a disaster like this happens, you need to have people like yourself, who obviously are extremely concerned about your district, getting up to St. Paul and getting the additional funding, if needed, down into that district.
We do. We need action. You're right. And I feel that's one of the, I do have that quality. I'm a hard worker. I don't know if you're familiar with my background, but
no,
I've been a social worker, a public servant in Rice County for over 25 years, and worked in children's mental health, chemical health, worked in crisis care. Right now I'm working with treatment court, and it's a lot of it is about looking at systems, working collaboratively, and trying to find solutions for people. And knowing that those solutions and the investments we make help our community overall. And again, I saw that with the investment we've made in, you know, our law enforcement, and we need more of that so people can respond, so our law enforcement can continue their great work. So it is about investment, I think, as well, and looking at systems and how they work together and advocating for that.
What prompted you to say, you know what, I'm running this time. I'm going to try to become the representative from 24B.
Well, as I mentioned, I have been a public servant. I've been a social worker in many different capacities in Rice County for over 25 years. People wonder or ask me if I ever lose hope in the people I work with, and I don't. I'm very grateful to be able to work with people, but what I have lost hope with and what I've become discouraged with is the cuts year after year in programs that actually support people in the community, that make the community healthier, that save the community money in the long term. These programs have been gradually cut over the years, and it's detrimental to the people that are trying to make a change in their life. They're trying to improve their health. They're trying to get back to work. And it's detrimental to our community as a whole, and we find that we're just sort of always in this crisis lurch or crisis mode in that area, and I really think that's not a good service to people or taxpayers. So I was feeling pretty frustrated about that when the election was coming up. I'm also a school board member. Similarly, for 6 years, I've been on the school board, and our board has been very good about maintaining a fund balance, but that means we have to be very conservative. We can't add programs. We can't give public education employees a fair raise to even keep up with inflation. And so we're always looking at that funding at the state level does not seem equitable, especially in our district because of the townships and the farmers. We do have difficulty. We don't want to be real harsh with our local levies and bonds on our farmers, so we need to work on a more equitable funding system at the state. level so we can continue to fund public education and support program development. So I guess those things were kind of on my mind when I was approached about running for the House, and so I decided to step up.
You bring up an interesting issue, and that is we have had leadership now that does that exactly. They cut programs that are not needed. They don't say, is the program needed, and say, okay, it is. Well, we can't cut that. They say, what can we cut that the least amount of people will be angry at us for doing so? And it's
right.
A really...
And I think, you know, and that also in the spring, a lot of discussion came up about targeting people on MA and how we can somehow get them off of MA because, you know, they're disabled and they're trying to be healthy and make a transition. And targeting those people that are the most vulnerable, and it is, it's done because I think people, those people are vulnerable. They're not standing up for themselves, and they try to create this fear or this sort of them and us feeling among voters or citizens of the district to promote their own budget needs or promote their own elections. And I agree with you. I think there is a targeting of people to try to create this fear and divisiveness and then cut programs just based on that.
Well, and it's not as if that money is going to other programs that are in need. It's generally given away as usually a tax break to, you know, generally the largest the corporations or the wealthiest class. I mean, very little of that tax money comes down to the middle and lower class. So not only is it the loss of the programs and the funding, but then there is not a supplemental budgets that are coming in or additional income that's coming in for most people. Henceforth, it's a double whammy.
Right. If you look at those tax cuts that were approved in 2017 by the Republican legislature, there was millions given to the wealthiest Minnesotans and tobacco companies. So there's two examples right there where people, that wealth was redistributed to them rather than the budget, which would maintain our quality of life in Minnesota. And if you even look at what was proposed by the governor, you know, for the tax conformity proposal, again, it would allow for cuts for middle-class Minnesotans, but it's not going to take those wealthiest, 1,000 wealthiest Minnesotans off the hook for their contribution to our quality of life. And I think most Minnesotans, when they think about it, they see the benefit to how we do things in Minnesota as far as quality of life. We support our unions. We support people in crisis. We want to help the disabled. We've developed systems around those. And I do think most Minnesotans and the people in my district, they appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But when you start talking about them and they're taking this from us and they're making things worse for us, then it does become just a real divisive issue for people.
You brought up something earlier, and I wanted you to elaborate a little bit more on this, because, I mean, as you talked about funding cuts in other areas, it sounds like in your district, law enforcement has not been funded correctly. Your district, as you did say, you know, it is laid out quite a bit. There's a lot of open territory, and if you've ever lived in rural America, you know that sometimes you have to, you know, depend on a neighboring county or a neighboring town to get law enforcement on weekends, stuff like that. Has there been a need for law enforcement? Have there been cuts at that level in your district?
No, I don't think there's been cuts in our district. And I really want to say that our law enforcement is amazing. But there are things, I believe, that could be done at the state system to support law enforcement. I mean, there was some money given for training, but I think there can be more money given for training. There's also some the way criminal cases are processed. We have a lot of lag time in criminal cases and the prosecution of them because of the BCA's backlog, and that's not fair to anyone. It's not fair to law enforcement. It's not fair to the people being charged with the offenses. So I think there statewide there are things that we can do to support our local law enforcement to increase task force funding. We have a great task force in our county that is shown to do amazing work, and they can use, of course, they could use more training and assistance. And so, you know, statewide, I think there are things we can do to support our law enforcement, but they do an excellent job.
obviously you're a district that's been Republican. It's a district though that if these numbers are playing true, and they seem to be playing true, you know, a 20-point swing, well, that puts 24B definitely in play for the DFL. And the nice thing about your district is you're just a hop, skip, and a jump down 35 here. People wanted to come down and help you and volunteer in your district, I imagine that'd be a pretty easy thing for them to do, correct?
Yes, it's really only 50 minutes from downtown Minneapolis to Faribault. Unless don't drive during, you know, obviously the traffic jams. But yeah, if you wanted to come down on a Saturday and door knock, we door knock every Saturday starting at 1. I have a website, obviously. It's yvettemarthaler.org. And I also have Facebook, Yvette Marthaler for State Representative, where we post calendars of events, or if you want to message me on that, you can message me on that, or you can message me on the website. But we're always looking for volunteers to door knock. We've really put a lot of time in door knocking. I can say I've door knocked in every township, and it's been a great experience, and we're going to continue to do that. So, yes, I would certainly welcome any volunteers that want to come down to our district. I think it seems far away, but it's pretty close, and it's a pretty beautiful place. Of course, I'm biased, but well, I think it's a great place to door knock.
It is a great place to door knock, and I'm glad you brought up the door knocking, because once again, everyone listen, here's yet another DFLer that's figured it out. You knock on the doors, people understand, oh, there are other choices in this election, and it's so important, I think, that as you're doing down there, the door knocking in a lot of districts, that's not something the DFL has been doing, and this year, I have talked across the state, and the DFL is out in numbers door knocking, so that's a great deal.
And I've had a lot of support. I would also add, I'd want to say from the DFL, I have a great she's not a volunteer, she's a field organizer, Hannah, who helps me out a couple days a week. So the DFL's been great supplying that because, yes, we are out. I'm out a lot, and the people that have volunteered for my campaign, I've had, I'm a member of Teamsters 320, and I was endorsed by the Teamsters, and some Teamster volunteers have door knocked for me. And it is good because it's great for me. I have learned a lot. I'm listening to people. I'm learning about agriculture, for one thing, farming, listening to what people are saying about our district and what their needs are. So, I mean, it has a great, you're right, benefit for the campaign, but it's also a great thing for me to be able to talk to people.
Yvette Marthaler is, once again, yvettemarthaler.org. I'll link to everything on social media a little bit later on. If you're in a safe Democratic district, and that's great, help your local DFLer, but if you got time, head on down to 24B. Donations, door knockers, volunteers are needed. If you can help out Yvette, it'd be fantastic.
Yes.
Indeed.
Always. Always looking for donations. We do have mailers. We've got some mailers funded going out, but we're going to continue to promote the campaign district-wide. So that would be greatly appreciated as well.
And a fantastic hashtag, Yvette, you bet. I love that. That's fantastic.
Yes, one of my fellow friends, John, came up with that. So it's been pretty fun.
Yvette, you bet. Hashtag Yvette, you bet. Once again, District 24B, Democrat of the Day, Yvette Marthaler. Once again, all my best down in 24B. And if you can volunteer and donate for her, please head on down. We'll post to your website a little bit later on. Thanks, Yvette.
Thank you so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure. We got to take a break. When we do come on back, a few quick stories here and maybe an update on what's going on in D.C. as well. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
It's grilling season, and Vinaigrette has some sizzling recipes to inspire you. How about summertime grilled fajitas? Just create a marinade with our golden balsamic or champagne vinegar and chili garlic or jalapeno olive oil and marinate beef or chicken. Add red onions, red, green, and yellow peppers and throw them on the grill. Or try grilled steak brushed with our truffle or garlic olive oil. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior or online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Lots of good things come in threes, like three-pointers, a triple scoop ice cream cone, and Standard Heating and Air Conditioning's triple savings sale. Just install a new furnace and AC this September and you'll triple your savings to the tune of $2,700. That's right. Get rebates and other discounts for a total of $2,700 in savings. Learn more about Standard's triple savings sale at standardheatingdeals.com. That's standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
The Fall St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running October 12th, 13th, and 14th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have a chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 300 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 30 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with a free transit pass. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at the stpaulartcrawl.org. That's the stpaulartcrawl.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I got to tell you, there we're jam packed today. There are a few stories. The story, first of all, I want to make sure I mention the guy in Duluth that's doing the door knocking in Duluth for the DFL. Some college kid. I don't know if you saw this. At first, I couldn't quite figure out why Jeff Johnson was so upset. Because what had happened was his lieutenant governor candidate was, you know, there was a DFL canvasser that was at her house, and she's the lieutenant governor candidate. And I'm like, well, I mean, they knock on every door, and so some college kid comes and knocks on the door. Is that a big deal? The kid had actually kind of made up a false pretense to get in the house, saying, my phone had died, I need to call. Dude, you can't be doing that. Yeah, you know, Johnson, you can't be doing that. It's like I said, if it's a case where, and trust me, there's a reason why sometimes I get the one of the things I get so angry about in politics is the pressure on the staff to get donations, to get, you know, get into people's houses and get them talking. I mean, if you've ever taken a phone call, I don't care which party you're from, about a donation. And hi, Mr. McNeil, we noticed that you gave to this group this last year. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't get this. But before you go, there's a matching dollar. Before you go. And I mean, I hate doing it to you, but I hang up on you. Because the pressure on them is that that person does not get off the phone until that donation is made. And that's you know, and they need to teach these people how to say, dude, okay, no, we're done. You can let the person go.
Yeah, I mean, telemarketers know when I'm screwing with them for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, you want to basically tone it down. I would say and make the argument that goes as well for people's houses. Don't, you know, if they don't want to talk to you, and I think that any door-knocking person will say, if they don't want to talk to you, don't talk to them. There's a next-door neighbor on either side. Off you go. You can go talk to them. But, yeah. You can't be making up stories, so there's that. Apparently, according to City Pages, there were some fights over at Valley Fair, at the Valley Scare. Some kids going a little, you know, nutsoid. Nothing as unusual as you get young, a lot of youth together, and generally sometimes tempers flare. You're with my girl, she's with you, or I don't like you, whatever. Well, they happened. I mean, the same thing used to happen at the Mall America when they first opened it up. God, they used to have all sorts of fights over the Mall America.
Yeah, I remember those scary stories.
Yeah, there were. Ooh, but of course, the racists get involved, and it goes from best way. Oh, there's some kids that were fighting to, it was at the Mall America. It was always black gangbangers are fighting, and it's like, no, that's not no. I'm not saying that there haven't been some problems there. with gangs, but it's not necessarily the way that it's always presented as, look out, black people. Come on, stop it. That's the no. Same thing. It's all, and these right-wing hacks have taken this, what happened at Valley Fair, and they're trying to run with it as it's all these Somali gang kids. No. As a matter of fact, I give the Shakopee Police Department a little bit of a kudos as they've come out. It's like, it was multi-ethnic groups of people, including Caucasians. And no, we haven't hidden any video footage from that night. It's all there. There was like three people cited for minor problems. I mean, it's the argument that they're saying is Somali gangs have overrun Valley Scare. It's a no-go zone. Are you sure you're not thinking it's a no-go zone because it says beware haunted house? You know, that's it's just a haunted house, dude. You know, you're kind of running with the racism thing again, Republicans. Stop it. Dear Lord. But the worst story, and I had it here and I just lost it. So I'm paraphrasing, and I'll post the story a little bit later out of Mankato. It is not hunting season. Usually that doesn't roll around till October. I'm not exactly sure what the Canadian goose season is for hunting Canadian goose, but I'm pretty sure it's not as well in September. Some guy, and I use that term very discreetly, decided to shoot two trumpeter swans. Now, if you haven't seen a trumpeter swan, might I suggest you go over to the Minnesota Zoo? They're endangered. You can't hunt them. They are beautiful birds. They are very large. And they are, you know, they're protected in Minnesota. And some guy, out of season, just took a gun, blasted two of them, and killed them both. Now, someone saw him do this and called the DNR, or I don't know if they called DNR or local law enforcement, but they found the guy, and he admitted, oh, yeah, here it is over here. Here's one, and then the other one was mortally wounded, and the other one died too. His argument is, I thought they were geese. Now, mind you, once again, it's not hunting season. You can't just all of a sudden just start firing off on a lake just because you want to. But there is no way any decent hunter would confuse any, there's no way, forget about hunter, any human being with eyes would confuse a goose with a trumpeter swan. And for this guy to shoot them, hunters, you need to be very vocal about this, because there's only one of two options. Either this guy's a sicko that just wants to blast away trumpeter swans, or he really is that stupid to think that at any time of the year you can start shooting geese. Well, look at the big white ones over there. Either way, that guy should not have a gun, because he's already proven he can't be trusted with them. And you should lock that ass up. I mean, my God. Hunter is in next. Prepare yourself. We're back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.